Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus. Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. It is the sweetest,
sweetest, sweetest, sweetest name I know.
Come on and lift your hands and say it with me.
It is the sweetest name.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know.
Listen to this right here.
Some people say I'm crazy, but I can't explain.
No, no.
The power that I feel, when I call your name.
When I call your name.
Said it's just like fire. Oh, shut up in my bones.
Oh,
dang, the Holy Ghost is moving here.
Yes, it is.
And it just won't leave me alone. Oh, there's something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something about the name.
Yes, it is.
Something about the name.
It really is the sweetest name that I know. Good morning to you and God bless you. This is Apostle Lonnie Starkson. I'm your host on the show today, and I want you to stay tuned. We're believing that God's going to do something great. We're coming to you from the Jesus Saved Ministry Church, located here in Brooklyn at 509 Evergreen Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. Our telephone number here at the church is 718-574-2244. Of course, the number to call us while we're on the air is 347-884-8850. I want you to stay tuned. We'll be back in a few minutes to take you further into the broadcast. Enjoy the music until we get
back. Oh, ho!
Something about the name.
Yeah.
It is the sweetest.
Yeah!
Oh,
hey.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
sweetest name I know. I don't know any name sweeter than the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know nobody can do you like Jesus. He can help you. He can heal you. He can deliver you. He can set you free. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but at the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee got to bow and every tongue got to confess. What they got to confess? That he is Lord. He is Lord. He is Master. He is Savior. There's no one going to be exempt that won't have to confess that name before they leave this earth. You got to confess it. It's the name that's above every name, most powerful name there is in the world. I love that name myself. It's a good name. It's the name that I cherish and I honor and I worship. Listen, I'm going to play just a little music this morning. I want to play Hide Me by Pastor Bruce Parham. Hide Me, Lord. Just take a listen. I need you.
Lord, hide me in thy glory, in the secret place of your holiness and grace. That's where I worship, in thy presence. Bless your name and give you reverence. Hide where the hands of mercy covers me from the enemy. Oh, hide from circumstance. Hide me when I want to take one more chance. I need you to hide me when my strength is weak. Hide me when my eyes want to take one more glance. Oh, hide me. Lord, I need you to hide me. Somebody lift those hands and worship the name. Lord, hide me in thy glory, in the secret place of your holiness and grace. That's where I worship in thy presence. I'll bless your name and give you reverence. I need you to hide me where the hands of mercy may. Ooh, cover me from the enemy. I need you to hide me. Hide me from circumstance. Hide me when I want to take one more chance. Lord, 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 hide me when my strength is weak. I
I want you to hide me. When my eyes want to take one more glance. Oh, hide me. Oh, my God. I need you to hide me. I'm asking you to hide me. From the enemy. Oh, hide me. Oh, my. I need you to hide me. Oh, my. Sometimes you gotta cover me from myself. Even if, oh, shall you? The enemy you hide in me. Yeah. Yeah. Even if.
Hallelujah. Sometimes I need the Lord to hide me. I'm not going to take in the lie. There's times in my life that I need the Lord to hide me. Because if I don't, I'll mess up every time, man. I'm telling you the truth. I need God to hide me. Because if he don't hide me, I think an incident happened last week. This man was cursing me, walking up to me. And the old me came back. I said, you know, you ain't crazy, sir. And the Lord shielded me, because if it hadn't have been, they ain't no telling what I would have done. Could have got killed or what, anything. So I need God. I that's a true message for me, if not for anyone else in this world, but it's for Lonnie. I need the Lord to hide me. There are times that I need him to hide me. Hide me from myself. Hide me that I don't take another look. I remember about 30 some odd years ago, I just gotten saved, and this lady was walking down the street, way down the street, and I was getting ready to go in my basement. And I didn't want to just look at that woman in lust or anything like that. And she was coming, man, and she was gorgeous as I could see her. So I took my eyes off. I said, let me just get in this basement. I don't want to be looking no more. I didn't want to get through that lust period. And, man, it seemed like I couldn't get the basement open. I couldn't get the right key. And I finally got in the basement. When I got down in the basement, that lady had on some kind of cologne and perfume. When she passed the basement, that perfume came down. The odor scent from that perfume came down in the basement. And the devil said, you look what you missed. Look, go up and look. Go up there and look. And I needed the Lord to hide me. And you know what he did? I remember one time I was in North Carolina when I was on my 50th birthday. I got to remember because of my 50th. Well, I do remember because it was my 50th birthday. And I went stopped at this convenience store to buy something to drink or some snacks or something. And when I went in there, the devil showed me the counter with all the liquid, the beverages, the beer, the wine, various things. And he said, get you one of those beers and drink it. You'll feel better. I needed the Lord to hide me. And I can report to you that he did. And that's what I mean, but I need the Lord to hide me. Because if I didn't, I would go right back into some of the same things that I used to do. I remember when I first got saved, there was this lady I used to date in New Bern, and I went home one weekend, and the devil put in my mind to go to her house, call her. And I was born again. I had no business at that woman's house. I needed the Lord to hide me. And this is what I mean. We need the Lord to hide us. But you know what the good news is today? God loves us. That's the good news, is that the Lord loves us. I want to share something with you about his love, the love of God. The Bible says in John chapter 3, let's pray, Father, we bless your name, we give you glory, and we thank you for your love. We thank you for sending Jesus, our Savior. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for giving us power. Thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, for being in our lives. Bless this service. Bless me as I proclaim the word. Make it plain and simple that those that hear may be blessed thereby in Jesus' name. In John chapter 3, verse number 16, from the King James Bible, said, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you hear what it says? It said, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have an everlasting life. I want to give God praise for that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. God did that for you and for I. That's love. That's genuine love. Absolute love. Pure love. Love that is greater than any love. The Bible said, for God, who he loved the world for himself. We are his creation. And he loved the world. He loved us. And the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's genuine, pure, authentic love. God loved you and I so much that he gave his Son Jesus so you and I could have everlasting life. That's genuine, pure love, absolute love. That's love that is not tainted. That is pure love, genuine love. God loved you and I so much that he died in the person of Jesus, his Son. He gave his life for you and I. For you and I. That's what God did for you and for I. He loved us that way. He loved us just like that. There's no if and him buts about the love of Christ. He loved you. He loved me. He loved us. He loved the two of us. He loved the three of us. As many as they are, he loved us. No matter what we've done, no matter what we're doing. And that's why when you fall in love with him, you don't want to sin and do a lot of things because you love him back. It's a two-way street. I talked about this morning interacting with God in Psalms 27, how we interact with God. And he interact with us. We can actually hear him talking to us. I mean, that's the love that God got. He opened up a channel that you and I can literally talk with him on a private basis, on a one-on-one. I mean, that's love, man. You think about it. That's genuine love. God loves you so much that you can talk to him. He'll talk to you. That's genuine love. Unadulterated love. That's love with no catch to it. That's love not tainted. That's pure love that you can have a conversation with the Almighty God. The Bible talks about it in Psalms 27 and how David had this relationship with God. David had this relationship with God. And he was able to talk with God, and God could talk back to him. Isn't that amazing that you could talk with God, and God can actually hear you, and you can hear God, and you can have a conversation with God? I mean, there's nothing more awesome than that, I don't think. What could be more awesome than that? That God talked with you, and you talked with him, the creator of the universe, the whole creator of the universe. Listen to this. In Psalms 27:7 it says, King James Bible, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon, also upon me, and answer me. Now notice what he said. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Now, this song, this writer that composed this song, he understands that there is a communication between him and the creator of the whole world, the universe, with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. There's a distinction between my voice and everyone else's voice, Lord. When I cry, I want you to hear me with my voice. Then he said, have mercy also upon me and answer me. That's the Lord talking. Now you tell me that's not, that's a one-on-one relationship. Look at verse 8. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Did you understand? Are you listening to what the Word of God is actually saying? That you can seek God, you can seek him, and then that God can seek you, that you can hear God. Says, listen, he said the Lord himself spoke to him and said, when thou sayest, seek ye my face. There's a semicolon there. And then he goes on to say, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. In other words, if you please understand that, ladies and gentlemen, that this conversation was between our Creator, our Master, and our Lord and his servant. That tells you there that there is an interaction that we have with God. God made it possible that we can commune and communicate with him. Commune and communicate. We can fellowship with God. Actually, fellowship with God. How awesome is that? That I can fellowship with Almighty God? That I can fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? David, the writer of this song, says, when thou sayest, seek ye my face. Now that means he heard God. He heard the voice of God speaking. Oh my God. He heard God speaking to him. And then he said, okay, seek ye my face. Then he said back to God, my heart said unto thee, Lord, I spoke back to you. You spoke to me. I spoke to you. Look at the relationship. Look at the connection. Please pay attention to that. God actually listens to you, and you can hear him. There's a channel of communication, a private channel between you and Almighty God. Now you tell me that's not love. That the God of heaven, the creator of the world, open up a channel that you and I can fellowship with him, that you and I can actually commune with him, that you and I can dialogue with him. One of my friends many years ago, he said, you know what I do? I said, what? He said, when I wake up in the morning, I said, good morning, Jesus. He said, he speaks right back to me. He said, you know, when I go in my kitchen and sit down to the dining room or kitchen table to eat, he said, you know what I do? He said, I put a plate out for Jesus, and I put one out for me. He was a single brother. I said, Lord, let's eat together. He said, when I eat my food, I eat with Jesus. And I, you know, back in the day, I said, well, this guy's a little cuckoo, you know. That's what I said, because it don't take all that. But you know what? Isn't that a great thing that you can be able to commune and fellowship with God, with Almighty God, with the Lord Jesus Christ? I think that's the most awesome thing in the world, that I can actually sit here in Brooklyn, New York, and have a fellowship with Almighty God, that I can have a conversation with him, that he'll talk to me and I'll talk to him. He'll speak to me and I'll hear him when he speaks. You know, I don't have to go through anyone to translate for me. I can hear God. He makes it clear that I can hear him. I think that's just awesome. Don't you think that's awesome? The Bible says, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I see. That means the songwriter literally heard God speaking to him, telling him what to do. Now, if that's not awesome, I don't know what awesome is. Look at verse 9. Then he said to the Lord, this is the songwriter talking to the Lord. He said, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O Lord of my salvation. Now look at the communication. Please pay attention to that. This man is talking to Almighty God, just like you can talk to him. I can talk to him. And knowing for certain that God was going to hear him, he spoke to God. He said, you know what? Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. In other words, when I slip up, God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He was able to talk to Almighty God. Are y'all listening to me? Please, this broadcast is so important that God loves you so much that he'll let you interact with him, that he'll let you talk with him. We're not serving a God that we can't connect with. You know, some people serve God as if he's unavailable or not available. Some people talk like they don't even know their God. What do you think the Bible said when you pray, say, Our Father? Make it personal, my Father, Our Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's a personal relationship with Almighty God. You can have that same relationship, whoever you are. You, too, can have that relationship with Almighty God. There's no doubt in my mind, you, too, can have that same relationship with Almighty God. Look what the scripture says. Let's go right back to the scriptures again. In the book of John, chapter number 3 and verse number 16, said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, there's that connection again. There's God saying, I love you guys so much. If you right now feel melancholy, if you feel disconnected, if you feel that you're out of it, if you feel that nobody cares about you, if you feel that you're alone today, well, this verse right here, if you just take your time and read it, see, sometimes we just read it and run right over it, but we don't listen to it. We don't listen to what the scripture is actually saying. The scripture is actually saying that God, in his love, in his infinite wisdom, in his almightiness, actually love us. He actually is concerned for you and I. I think that is awesome, man, to know that God cares about me. Man, I think that is awesome to know that God loved me and that God cares so much that he died for me. He gave his life for me. Man, that's awesome. God Almighty gave his life for me, for Lonnie, for you, whatever your name might be. God gave his life for you. He shed his blood for you. He gave his life for you so you could have eternal life. He gave his life for you so you can have life everlasting. He gave his life for you so you could be delivered. God Almighty, in the person of his Son Jesus Christ, gave his life so you could be victorious, so you could be more than a conqueror. He gave his life for you so you could be healed. He gave his life for you so you could be satisfied. He gave his life for you so you could have food on the table, clothing on the back. And then he sits there and talks with you. He communes with you. He communicates with you. Isn't that awesome that I can sit and communicate with Almighty God? Isn't that just beautiful? Isn't that great? To know that God is love, he loves us so that he'll actually sit down. You know, God is not a God that is impersonal. He's a personal God. A lot of religions, and what I'm so glad to tell you today, we don't have religion. We are born again. We have relationship with God. It's not a religion. We're not worshiping something that that's impersonal. We worship a personal God. We're not worshiping the sun that shines in the daytime and disappears at night. We're not worshiping the moon that shines at night and disappears in the daytime. But we worship Almighty God that's there all the time. The creator of the moon, the creator of the stars, the creator of the universe, the creator of the lakes. We're not worshiping the lakes or the river or the sea that the wind comes strong and blows the water and we toss and turn. But we're not serving that. We're serving Almighty God and have a relationship with him. I mean, that's what's so awesome this morning is that you, too, can have that relationship with the Lord. That's why I think I told someone the other day with Zaccardi. I like the song. I like his singing. He's a great singer. But the song he made with God, that I need this one-on-one relationship, and he said, I don't mean to bother you. I don't want to be there too long. Listen, you don't have to say that. There is a one-on-one relationship with God. There is a one-on-one relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that relationship is between you and him. It's a continuity. It's a connection. You're not disconnected from God if you're born again. If you're saved and born again today, you are connected to Almighty God. Connected. Are you listening to me? You are connected to Almighty God. That's what's so important on this broadcast today, is that you are connected and God is connected with you. You can commune with God. He'll commune with you. You can fellowship with God, and God is fellowship with you. There's not a time that we are out of sync with God. We're in sync with God. The only time we're out of sync is when we go our own way. The only time we're out of sync is when we disobey God. We reject the listen. But as long as you listen to God, you got that connection with God, with our Heavenly Father, with Jesus Christ. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why do you think there's so many woes? And I think the first time that I ever really understood, well, I didn't think I understood it that way, but the first time I encountered and experienced someone trying to disconnect me from someone was my wife. I didn't know where she lived. And one day I went looking for her, and we were just dating. Courtney, I just started courting her. Had never taken her out, and she invited me to her house. And she lived in a place called Earl, North Carolina. So I went looking for her, and I stopped at this gas station. And I said, do you guys know where such and such place at? I'm trying to find it. And this one man said, oh, you talking about so-and-so and so. That was my wife. It was going to be my future wife. At that time, we weren't married. He said, oh, you talking about so-and-so and so? I said, yeah. He said, well, that's the girl that everybody's sleeping with. I mean, can you believe that? Here's a man, I'm about 5 miles from my house. Here's a man that gives out a false report about the lady that I'm getting ready to marry. Well, I wasn't that close to marrying then, but we was dating. It was my first date. He gives out this false report as if he was having sex and sleeping with this woman. And you know what that was to do? That was to discourage me and turn me away. Well, that's what the devil does with you and I and God. He always shows us that God is not with us. He always shows you, if God is with you, well, then why are you having this problem? Am I talking right? Satan always wants you to believe that God is not with you. Satan always wants you to believe that you really cannot have no relationship with God, that it's fictitious, that you're just saying something that's not true. He don't want you to believe that there is such a thing as a relationship with God Almighty. And he does all that he knows, and he's very tricky, to prove to you that God is not absolute concern about you and I. He wants to make you believe that serving God is amiss. It means nothing. Serving God means nothing. That's what Satan wants you to believe. And he's doing everything. He'll put sickness on you. He'll put this on you. He'll lie on you. He'll cause you to lose your job. He'll do all these things just to get you disconnected from God Almighty. Are you looking to me? Are you listening to me? But God cares about you. I'm going to play the song by Kirk Franklin. And I know I play these songs a lot. I mean, I have a lot of music. But certain songs just stick out. Kirk Franklin, I'll talk about Jesus is looking out for me. Take a listen. He's looking out for me.
Can I get a witness?
Look how Satan turns that around. He tells you every time there's a problem, Satan tells you, look at that, God is not real. God is not real. God is not with you. Every time there's a problem in your life, what does Satan do? He sticks his head up and says, look at that. I told you God wasn't with you. You're wasting your time. But you know what I want to say to you? If you notice when we weren't saved and didn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you never heard that voice from Satan. He never told you that there was no God or that God wasn't with you because you didn't know him anyway. But the moment you get saved and the moment you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan gets very busy to tell you that God is not with you. And every time there's any type of problem, what does he tell you? See there? If God was with you, you wouldn't have that problem. You're not, God is not with you. And then he'll tell you, there is no God. Why did you have that stroke? If God was so good, why did you have the stroke? Or why are you broke? Why you can't pay your bills? I mean, he just goes about telling us over and over that God is not with us. And that's one of the things that encourages me to serve God, because if God wasn't with me, why is Satan so busy trying to pull me from someone that's not there? If God is not real, why are you trying to disconnect me from him? If God don't love me, why are you telling me he don't love me? If God is impersonal, why are you telling me that God is not personal? If God cannot be known, why are you telling me that God cannot be known? Why? If it's the truth. So you know he's lying to you. Satan is lying. And he's doing everything he can to keep you from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He's doing all that he can to keep you from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything within his power. He's doing it to keep you and I from serving Jesus Christ. He don't want us to serve Jesus. He don't want us to love God. He don't want us to accept Almighty God as our Lord and Savior and walk according to his counsel. He don't want that. He wants you and I to be outside of God. He wants you and I to be void of God. He wants you and I to have no joy and no peace. He wants you and I to live a life without Christ. He wants you and I to believe that there is no Christ. He wants you and I to believe that it's not worth it to go to church. He'll tell you going to church is not significant. There's no importance in it. Why go to church? Stay home. Why pray? Satan will even tell you not to pray. But you know what I love about God? So now check this out. You'll catch this. I want you to catch it. If prayer wasn't important, if prayer wouldn't help, why did God instill in all of us the need for prayer? Even when we didn't know anything about prayer, even then, even when we weren't in church, the Lord God instilled in us the need to pray. He did it. Even when I weren't going to church, God had instilled in me the need to pray. I used to pray when I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know about prayer. Nobody had trained me about prayer. Even when no one had ever taught me about prayer, if prayer is not important, why has God put that in every one of our hearts? When there is problems, when there is troubles, you pray. Who are you praying to if it's not God? Why is it every time there's a calamity or a trouble, and the first thing you say is, Lord, have mercy on me? If God is not there, if it's true that there is no God and God is not with me, if that is true, why is it that I cry to a God that I don't know when I didn't know him? I'm talking about before I got saved. Every atheist in the world, the moment there is a calamity or there is a problem, what do they pray? And maybe they don't want to be caught seeing praying, but deep down in their breath, they'll be saying, Lord, have mercy. Well, if there's no God, why are you saying, Lord, have mercy? Who put that in your heart? Satan couldn't have put it there. I want to announce to every Mason, atheist and every Muslim, every human being on this earth, if you hear me today, play this archive. If there is no God, why has it been put in our spirit to pray to him? If there is no God, why are we praying to something that isn't? And that was put in there. No man, listen, we was born with that in us. That means God put that love in you that you could love him. You can actually love God. You can actually have that fellowship with God. You can have a fellowship with God. And he put it in there in every human being, whether you're white or whether you're black, whether you're African or whether you're American or whether you're Jewish or whether you're Chinese, Belgium, German, doesn't matter what ethnicity, doesn't matter what. Every man, every woman has that in him, that ability to call on Almighty God. In order to not call on God, you have to actually go out your way and practice not calling God. You have to go out your way and train your mind not to call God. No one has to pray. When you hit your finger, oh, Lord, have mercy. When you fall, help me, Lord. That's universal. And that's installed in you by God himself. That's installed in each one of us by God. And that's why Satan is so cunning trying to get you from God. He don't want you to believe that. Even basis, if it's not true, my thing again, if it's not true, why is Satan trying his best to get me not to believe it? If it's not true. If it's not true. If God is not real, why is he going out of his way to keep telling me that God is not real? If God is just imagination of my mind, a fixation of the imagination of my mind, if God just in my mind that I'm somehow kind of distorted, that my mind is not, that I'm deranged to the point that I'm believing something that's not real, well, why is Satan constantly trying to tell me over and over not to believe it? I use my wife again, my first wife. I've been married twice. I want you guys to know it. I was young when I first got married, but I wasn't saved. And the devil was at the gas station, and I was looking for the house that my wife lived on. I was looking for the area. I was about 4 or 5 miles away. And I was asking some of these gentlemen on a Sunday afternoon, or Saturday, I think it was a Sunday, it could have been a Saturday, and I asked them, where does Sister so-and-so live? And one of the brothers said, oh, you talking about the girl that everybody sleep with? Huh? I didn't ask him about her relationship. The first thing he did was try, to me, was destroying her character. as if she was a woman, and she was, well, how old was she at that time? She was like 18, 19, and I was 20, 21. Now, the first thing the devil did was trash that lady, my wife. She wasn't my wife then. I mean, he said all kinds of things about her, that all the boys in the neighborhood sleeping with her, she's having sex with everybody. And you know what that was for? That was to turn my behind around and going back where you came from. Don't even stay here. That girl ain't no good. But thank God Almighty, I paid no attention to her. Come to find out, the man don't even know the woman. I mean, he knew her, but there had never been no relationship. And that's what Satan does. He always tell you what there is no God, and God is not with you, and he has no fellowship with God. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning coming down out of heaven. Jesus said that. I beheld Satan as lightning as he came down out of heaven. Jesus said he got kicked out of heaven. If he is so genuine that there is no God, why is it that he wanted to imitate God? Why does he want to take the place of God? Sisters and brothers, if Satan is telling you the truth, why is he trying to lord over your life? Why is he trying to get you to bow down to him if there's not a supreme, if there's not an almighty, if there's not a loving God? Why is Satan trying to get you to bow down to him? I submit that to you. But I tell you why, because he knows that God. He knows that God is a loving God, a kind God. And he knows that God will bless you. He knows that God cares about you. He knows that you can fellowship with God. He knows that. Of all the peoples in the world, Satan knows, and all the beings in the world, he knows that you can actually have a fellowship with God. You can actually have a fellowship with God. In Psalms 27 and verse number 7, once again, it says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me and answer me. Now, why is this songwriter, why is this person crying out to Almighty God if there is no God? I mean, this was way before you was born, before I was born. This was before the Bible was written. Why is he crying out to God if there is no God? Look at verse 8. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The songwriter tells us that clearly that he heard the voice of Almighty God speaking to him. If you can hear God, and it's been written over and over and over again, people having fellowship with God. I have a fellowship with God. And if there's no fellowship, why are we so dogmatic to keep saying it over and over again? Are you saying we are imbecile? Are you saying that we are not grown, our minds are not grown? Are you saying that we are local or crazy or insecure? But I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that I am sound and there is a God, and he is my Savior. He is my Lord. The Bible says I can actually hear him talking to me. I can actually hear God speaking to me. The Bible says I can actually hear God speaking to me. I can actually hear him. I can actually hear him speaking. There is a voice that God has. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And again, I'm getting ready to leave, ladies and gentlemen. But if this is not true, why is the enemy telling you that it's not true? Why don't we just leave it alone? If it's not true, if God is impersonal, and you can't know him, and God doesn't have all power, why is the enemy always constantly telling you not to trust him? Why would you tell me to trust what's not? If it's just not, you don't have to tell me that. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray that whoever plays this archive or maybe listening now, that you saturate them with your love. Give them an understanding of your love. Receive them into your kingdom today and give them a revelation of your love, that they will, from this day forward, be empowered with the knowledge and understanding that you are loving God, you're a kind God, and that you interacts and that you saves your people, those that want to be saved. Save today, Lord. Heal and forgive. That's my prayer. Now, you have yourself a blessed day. I love you in Jesus' name. Remember, God is still good. And every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me. I'm going to leave with Kirk Franklin. Once again, he keeps on looking out for me. Have a good day.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hey.
You keep on.
Look at looking out for me, Jesus.
Looking out for me.
Willie Dale Johnson. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? If I can get a witness, baby, yeah.